Welcome to the podcast of Selmore Baptist Church in Ozark, Missouri. To learn more about our church, please visit selmorebaptist.com. And now, here's the sermon.
What a wonderful time. Thank you, praise team. I'm going to give you the start of a sentence, and you are going to finish it for me. I have confidence in you. It's not whether you win or lose, it's... Yeah, that's been around a long time, hasn't it? And there's some wisdom in that. I mean, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in winning that people on the ball fields and the football fields and the parents in the stand get crazy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's wild out there. So it is a good thing to teach young people and others. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Now, having said that, I have a second question for you, and the question is this: how many of you would rather win than lose? Okay, some of you are Baptists, you're not going to raise your hand for anything, I'm just telling you. So you're just going to have a tie, I guess. I don't know, you know. But if you would rather lose than win, we have counselors after the service today. Oh, my. I want to talk with you today and share a message with you that I have titled A Winner for Christ. Winners for Christ. And I already know that I need to make sure you understand something. When I talk about winners for Christ, you may have the idea of someone mighty in the work of the Lord, hundreds if not thousands of people following after them, people who bring many, many souls to salvation, and we celebrate that. But that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, let me define what I mean by the phrase winners for Christ right now. Winners for Christ are those who live in such a way that someday He says to them, "Well done." That's a winner. And I'll tell you, that winner may never be known outside of a tiny circle, but they are faithful to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I believe. I really do. I believe every Christian under the sound of my voice wants to be that kind of winner for Christ. You really do want the day to come when Jesus will look at you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." And I want that as well. So I want to look at that with you in just a little bit. And what I want to do before I do that is give you this one sentence, and that is this: I can be a winner for Christ. Now you say, "Well, of course, Pastor, you've been doing this a while, and maybe that's true, but not for me." No, this is for you. And so I'm going to say it, and then you're going to repeat it. Here it is: I can be a winner for Christ. Now, I will tell you what Satan just whispered. You can't. You got too much history. You got too many things wrong. You got too many hang-ups, habits, things that are going to trip you up. No. You can't be a winner for Christ. I declare to you under the authority of the Word of God that every child of God can be a winner for Jesus Christ. And I believe that fervently, and that means everyone here. Now, if you're not yet a part of the family of God, I will tell you, you can be a winner for Christ. But it starts when you place your confidence and faith in Christ alone for your salvation. You do not depend upon yourself. You do not depend upon your works. You depend upon the grace of God demonstrated when Christ died for your sins and mine, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended to the throne, sent the Holy Spirit, and He's coming back again. Amen? Amen. And when you come to Christ in faith, trusting Him alone, then I declare to you, you can be a winner for Christ. Once you take your Bible, a copy of Scripture, whatever form it may be in, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, if you will, in your Bible, a passage of Scripture that I have come to love and I have felt very much the need for in my own life. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in just a little bit with verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word again, if you are able. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again in the name of Jesus, I am just praying, Father, for you to speak to the hearts of people. Between my lips and their ears, Holy Spirit, do a work so that whatever is needed will be had by those who are here. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We see immediately in this text that the Apostle Paul is using the analogy of the games. Most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the Olympic Games, but these would have been the Isthmian Games, so called because they were on the Isthmus of Corinth. And they had those games the year before and the year after the Olympic Games. And that's the image that Paul is using here as he's instructing the believers in Corinth. Now, can I pause a moment? A lot of them were messed up. Are you hearing me? This is not some kind of idealized perfect church. They were, a lot of them messed up. Guess what? There's some of us messed up too. Amen. So let's make that clear. But Paul is saying to them and to us that you can be winners for Christ. You who think you cannot, Paul's saying, I want you to understand you can be a winner in the game of life and winners for Christ. So I'm posing a question to the text. I'm posing a question to the text. Here's the question. What are the essentials for being winners for Christ? What are the essentials for being winners for Christ? Now, I want to unpack the text. So if you have your Bible, keep it open before you. If not, just give close attention to the Word of God. And I'm going to share the answer to that with three words. And they come from the text. So I invite you back to verse 24. Is your Bible still open? Look at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the what? Prize. Prize. Hey, my friend, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Paul said there's a prize to be had. There is a prize. He later will refer to it as the imperishable crown. There's a prize. He says it not only there, but also in this translation, he says it in verse number 25, everyone who competes for the prize. And you know that in that day, the winner's crown was a laurel wreath of flowers that would be given at the end of the race. And it was clear that Paul's life had a focus. His life had to focus, and he wanted those who were in Corinth to have a life that was disciplined and a life that was focused. Paul was committed to being a winner for Jesus Christ, to achieving that prize, and I think the greatest prize is well done, good and faithful servant. And he was committed to that. Now, I'm going to invite your attention to a different text, but you'll see the same thing as you look at that. I'm reading from Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, that's on the screen, but I invite you to look it up in your own copy of Scripture. Listen now to Paul. This is so important, I think. Not that I have already attained, that's important, or am already perfected, that's important, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the what? Goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul focused on a prize, determined to gain that prize, that goal that was his. Every winner has goals. Every winner has goals. So my first word today, remember the question that I'm posing? What are the essentials for being winners for Christ? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. I'm asking you a question. What are the essentials? I'll tell you one of them. Goals. And the specific goal of pleasing God by following Jesus Christ. And that translates into actual goals, disciplines, if you will. But that first word is goals. You cannot be a winner in Christian life without goals. What are your goals? What are your goals? Last week, I think it was, I spoke a little bit about my goals and how they had shaped my life. But I failed to tell you, about one of my earliest goals. One of my earliest goals was to be a frontier scout. Yeah, I really did. In fact, I had a person that I wanted to model that on, and that was Daniel Boone. I had a coonskin hat. Anybody else ever have a coonskin? Yeah, a few of you. Rest of you looking like whatever, you know. But, I mean, we may have killed the coon. I don't know. But anyway, we had a coonskin hat. But here's what I found out. I was a reader, and I found out that 214 years before I was born, on the same day, Daniel Boone was born. Oh, my word. James, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Now, this is a true story. I'm not lying. My brother Buddy is 14 months older than me. And I found out he was born the same day as Davy Crockett. I'm telling you, we both wanted to be scouts. We wanted to be defenders of Bull Creek men, women, and children. That's what we wanted to be. Now, that's a goal I didn't reach. I never became Daniel Boone, and he never became Davy Crockett. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's perfectly legitimate for you to have goals in other areas. A goal for your education, a goal for your life, a goal for your marriage. Met a young couple that's heading for that in June. I heard about another one here. And so those goals, those are very good things. But let me tell you, do not live life without goals for Jesus Christ. Don't live life without saying, Lord, more than anything else, this day, I want to please you. I want to live in such a way that I hear you someday say that you have done well. You have done well. I read about, this was back in 2008, it's been a while back, but a British serviceman had been injured dreadfully in a rocket attack in Iraq, and he was told he would never walk again. But in the next year, in April, he made the start of the 26-mile race, the marathon in Greenwich, the London Marathon. And he finished that race 13 days later on his crutches. Isn't that cool? And then let me give you a much more contemporary one. Daniel Gutierrez is the head vocal music person in Nixa High School. Some of you may or may know him. Some of you may not. He posted on his Facebook page a picture of his 10-year-old son. His 10-year-old son's name, Zach. It was below freezing weather. His 10-year-old son had just run a mile in below freezing temperatures and ran it in 6 minutes and 11 seconds. 10 years old. I ran the mile one time at Galena High School when I was a student at Spokane. Got to the end of it, puked, never ran it again. Yeah. And I don't think I beat this 10-year-old's time either, you know. I'm just telling you, that's goals. And then he said to his father, and I wrote it down, he said to his dad, he wants to continue to improve and keep getting faster. And I will tell you, his dad said, lots of work went into this run today. You think? Huh? And listen to what I've got a burden for. My burden is this. Too many of us who are Christians are just drifting through life. We don't have goals. We don't have objectives. And we're not pressing on. And because of that, we are not living up to our potential as winners for Jesus Christ. You've got to have those goals. And Paul would want us to know that. Now, that's the first one. So the first word, way of essentials for being a winner is goals. But then I want you to look also in verse 24. Is your Bible still open? This is important, church. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now you think about that. Now let me tell you what I think. I don't think he's talking about heaven or hell here. I don't think he's talking about running in such a way that you, instead of making heaven, you make hell. If I still believe and will always, I think, believe that if you're ever a child of God, you're forever a child of God. That's not the issue here. The issue is, how are you going to live your life? What are you going to do with your life? And what Paul says is, run in such a way that you may obtain it. The implication is very clear, that there are ways that you can run that will get you disqualified. And he speaks to that in particular in verse 27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become what? And I will tell you, if you're disqualified in a race, you lose. If you're disqualified in a race, you lose. Again, is Paul talking about losing his salvation? God forbid. Paul knew very well that his life was in God's hands, and that by that grace of God he was saved. Not by earning. You never earn your salvation. But I will tell you, if you are saved, there ought to be effort going into your Christian life. Effort not to be saved, but because you've been born again, because Christ lives in you, because the Holy Spirit is at work. So the first thing that we had was goals, but let me give you the second word, and that is guidelines. Guidelines. I'm talking about Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant. What are the guidelines to our life? The good news is we have the guidelines. The good news is the Bible will tell us if we persist in living in that word and by the word what we need to know to please Jesus Christ. And you've got to have those guidelines. Someone was talking to me this morning about my father-in-law, Debbie's dad, Bill Mabe. I love him, and I will see him again one of these days. But it made me think about the time that I was disqualified in a race with Bill Mabe. We were on the go-kart tracks in Branson. It's a legend in my family. It's a true story. And I knew something that Bill, I don't think, knew, probably to his benefit. I knew that those little go-karts had a governor on them. Who knows what that means? That's right. It's to keep fools from going too fast. But I knew where it was. And I'd wait till I got back to the back side of the track where I didn't think the kid up front would see me or hear me. And I'd reach in behind there and I'd crank that thing up and I'd go, whoom! I mean, I was doing good till he kicked me off the track. Disqualified. Because I didn't stay within the guidelines. And rightfully, I was disqualified from riding the go-karts. I probably couldn't go back down now. They got my name and picture on file. Here's what I know. You can live your life by your own guidelines. But if you do, you'll miss the well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you listening, church? You can do it your own way. I mean, you can choose the way that seems right to you. But the way that is right, whether it seems right or not, is this way. It's the way of the Word of God. And everything in His Word is for your benefit. It is not to rob you of life. It is to add life to your life. And so Paul wants them to know that if they are going to be the kind of people that will hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, that there needs to be guidelines and there needs to be the discipline. The discipline. This is something that God's still working on me. And I wish I would have learned better earlier, even in my physical body. I just know that I would be at a different place physically had I done so. But Paul says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. I do not run aimlessly. I do not shadow box. No, I give it everything I've got so that I won't be disqualified. And I will tell you, you know this, there's been far too many of the teachers and preachers and servants of God that have been disqualified. They've been disqualified. And it breaks the Father's heart. And it ought to break our hearts whenever that happens. So you need goals. That's number one. And secondly, you need guidelines. You need to be sure that you compete according to the rules or else you will lose. Now, there's a third thing that I want you to see, and I want you to see that again by looking at that last verse. I talked about it a little. I want to talk about it some more. Let's go back to verse number 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. You understand that language? I mean, he's saying, I go flat out full speed ahead. I don't run with uncertainty. And I know full well that there have been times in my life that I have run with uncertainty. He says, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Now, hear me carefully here because it's important. If you want to be a winner for Christ, there's going to be some battles for you. Don't misunderstand this. I think there's some people say, oh, yes, bring it on. I want to be a winner for Christ. You sure? You sure you want that? Let me read you something. I'll not ask you to turn there, but let me read you what Paul said. Paul was a winner for Christ. He's the one writing this. Here's what he said. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And you say, okay, sign me up. What? We are soft saints. We simply have not been disciplined in the way that he's talking about. And remember, he was a winner. And that's what a winner for Christ may look like. They may come to the finish line beat up, beat down, ran over, whatever it is, but they come and they hear Jesus say, well done, well done. And I fear there'll be many of us, if we're not careful, we'll go in, we'll be all dressed up, we'll be looking pretty, but we won't hear him say, well done. And that will be a tragedy in our lives. I told you it's 3 words, 3 essentials. The first one was what? The first one was that there be goals. Now, you need to be thinking about that. We're at the beginning of a year, but it's not just at the beginning of a year. Secondly, guidelines. Are you living your life according to the guidelines? Or are you looking God in the face and say, I know better than you, God, how to live my life? But here's the third one. It takes guts to be a winner for Christ. It takes guts. Because you will find opposition, sometimes in your own family, sometimes in your workplace, always in a culture that is slouching toward Gomorrah, as one writer said. You're going to have opposition. You're going to fight some battles. But your commander is waiting for you. And he wants to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. But it will take goals and guidelines, and yes, it will take guts. A man named James Ron said this, there are 2 pains in life, and you cannot escape them both. There is the pain of discipline, and there is the pain of regret. The pain of discipline comes first and weighs ounces. The pain of regret comes last and weighs tons. Two pains. Which one will you have? When you face Jesus Christ, will it be the pain of discipline or the pain of regret? And it does indeed take guts. One more time, we summarize. What are the essentials for being winners for Christ? Goals, guidelines, and guts. And I end with these words from the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. I can be a winner for Christ. You can be a winner for Christ. Goals, guidelines, guts. Let's pray. Father, I want just for the moment to ask that the Holy Spirit would deal with me, would help me see what is a blind spot in me. Is it in the goals? Is it in the guidelines? Or is it just I'm lacking in guts? Father, I want to hear more than I can think of anything else right now. I want to hear Jesus say, Hosey, you did well. Well done. You were a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. But Father, I don't want to do that by myself. I want to do it with every member of my family. I want to do it with every part of the body of Christ. Father, I would love it if the whole world would give their lives to Jesus Christ and become winners for Christ. Bless now in this invitation. There's a lot of space down here, Father, where somebody could come get down on their knees and do business about the goals or the guidelines or maybe the guts. And Father, somebody that's here might be ready to say, I need to give my life and heart to Jesus Christ. I am convinced that I'm a sinner, and I'm convinced that He's my Savior, and I need Jesus Christ. Help them to come, Lord. Help them to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.